It's Nick, Jess and Ducko. Welcome to the podcast.
Ducko.
Nick.
I think it was about a week ago. You brought up such a pressing question that everybody needed to know. If there was, I think it was a brontosaurus or a diplodocus.
A brontosaurus.
Wearing a necktie.
Yeah.
Would it wear it right up near its mouth or like 8 meters below near the insertion of the neck on its body?
Stumpy little legs.
What, did we come to a consensus?
No, I don't think we did.
I think we all had our own opinions.
Yes. Mm.
I want to throw another one at you today.
Sure.
Birds, right? They've just done something sweet. Maybe pulled a great ollie. Anyway, they're going for a high five.
With each other or with a human?
With each other.
Okay.
Are they high-fiving with their wings or with their feet?
I was just going to say it'd be a claw five. Wouldn't it be a claw three?
A claw three.
A claw four, maybe.
See, I think if they have witnessed the human race,
yeah.
you'd think it would be wing to wing, the equivalent of the hand.
Because there's two... like limbs below them and they're using the upper sort of limbish bits.
Yeah. However, if they also have paid attention to us and birds, let's be real, they're like cats. They think they're better than us.
Yeah.
So what's the level up? Flying whilst high-fiving. So in the air, they smack legs.
Legs or wings?
Legs. So they're flapping as they extend a leg out.
Extend the claw
then,
out.
Ah.
The talons reach out and sort of like scratch each other.
Oh.
Yeah, I think
you know
that would
how
be the
we
way
have
go.
The trick of when you're giving a high five, you look at the other person's elbow. You taught me that, Gilly, and you can always really smack it
you
into the
miss.
Right position. Yeah.
Yeah,
a bird would have to be very good at that, flying, flapping at the same time.
What would
time.
That be point of reference for them if they're not? They don't have elbows. So
this is a great point.
You
maybe
know
the
what
third
I mean?
Feather.
Are they looking at the third feather
on the wing? Yeah, maybe
third feather, left wing, and you'll nail it.
But also, like the claws, to me, are like quite spaced out. I don't know how good they don't really have a palm.
True.
I don't know if they can get that good, satisfying, you know, that slapping sound.
But they couldn't get that with a wing.
No,
right?
The wing
would be like two pillows hitting each other.
Do they beak five?
Oh, like nose each other.
Nose each other. A little Eskimo kiss.
Maybe, possibly. Or do they just hover in front of each other and like salute each other by flapping their wings?
Oh, yeah. You get a gust of wind.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent.
You wind each other.
Yep.
Maybe so, but, you know, in the hypothetical world of giving high fives, we don't want to just come up with a new move.
So true.
We don't want
to We've
got
to stick to the traditional
roots
of the
equivalent,
Okay. Interesting.
And if they do it with the wings, you know, don't they have hollow bones because they're quite light and they have to be able to fly?
Oh.
Could they
Remember
bust a wing
Paulie?
Mid-air?
Oh, yeah. Where he got his wings clipped?
Oh. Yes.
If you get your wings clipped, though, from a household bird, they can grow back, right?
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, they do.
Can they?
Yeah, they grow back.
I didn't know that.
We had a budgie. A bit.
We had a budgie, Cosmo, who escaped. We had his wings clipped a few times and we forgot and he got out of the cage and flew off. I'd say he probably died pretty quickly, Cosmo.
So did you keep clipping to keep
him
safe?
Yeah, you get them clipped.
Safe.
I can't remember how many times you do it a year. It's not much, but you get them clipped.
Yeah.
And literally.
Mate, Paulie made it seem like the most painful thing in the world.
Oh, I'm sure
was
it would
Cosmo
be.
Okay?
Cosmo seemed fine.
It was just feather, wasn't it? You're not clipping bone or cartilage or something.
I think it's just feather.
You are
Remember Paulie screaming? It was really traumatic as a child.
I had an issue with that whole movie.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what movie you're talking about.
Oh, Paulie was like a little lorikeet. He was a really beautiful green bird. And he spoke like to the other animals, not to the humans.
Yeah.
But yeah, they clipped his wings.
So my problem with Paulie was not so much that he could speak fluent English.
Yeah.
Fine. Like he can, but it was, he had the intelligence of a human.
Yeah.
Like he had an analytical brain.
What are you saying? Birds aren't as smart as humans.
No.
Careful.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That's a pretty dumb.
What do you think our bird listeners are going to be turned off here?
There's a few. We got a few. We're big in the bird audience.
Yes.
Are we?
Oh, mate, we are big in the bird cage. Trust me.
Big in the bird cage.
Yeah.
Love that.
Have you ever been friends with anyone or acquaintances with anyone who likes bird watching?
Bird watching?
Yeah, or spotting. You know, they have the binoculars. They go into the bush and they have the whistles that make the calls.
And the bird bingo. And you get the little card and you have to tick off the birds.
Yeah.
It's an honour system. It's just the honesty.
You used to do bird bingo, but that was at Argyle and King Street at 3 a.m.
Oh, back when it was Fanny's.
There's a blonde.
With his little bingo card sitting in the corner. Security kept coming over being like, sir, you're freaking out the patrons.
What are you doing? I
don't know
bingo!
Why you went.
I got them all.
A redhead wearing a thong, yes, done.
Got her.
Where's my free drink?
I'm going to marry her.
I led you down that garden path. So
yeah,
that's
I thought
fair.
That's what you meant.
No, didn't.
Yeah,
I just went with red.
So, birds, high fives.
Birds, high fives.
No conclusion?
No conclusion again.
Thanks for listening.
So, boys, for the past few weeks in the evenings, you may have seen something pretty exciting going on at Civic Park here in town. It was called The Hangar, and it was like a sci-fi cabaret show. And I went last night. It was the closing night, so if you didn't make it there, make sure you get it round it. Because it will come back. It has to come back.
Sci-fi cabaret.
Mate, it was the weirdest, wackiest, most wonderfully bizarre thing I've ever seen in my 29 years.
Well, you know what my first question
is going to be? Yes.
How much probing was there?
Do you know what? The premise of the sci-fi cabaret was like there were these two sexy space boys who had travelled the universe and gathered together the best of the best in intergalactic entertainment.
And instead of seeing all that jazz, they did like all those lasers?
100%. 100%. Yeah, right. At one point, a woman was like a butterfly woman was birthed from a cocoon. Another point was two identical twins like jumped from the roof and did like parkour around the stage to dry ice.
Just really expressing themselves as
really
aliens.
Expressing themselves. But there was about a 12-minute interlude in the middle of the show where the two sexy space boys who were our MCs handed out tiny toast. Like you could line up
space bread
and get tiny toast.
You know, like
you know, like the tiny crispy
square toast. Yeah, it's hard. It's not
like the kind of pumpernickel. Little bread.
Just like, you know, it's like stale, crispy.
Yeah.
They said, if you want the tiny toast, line up. So it was about 12 minutes there. I didn't want the tiny toast from the space aliens. So it was about 12 minutes that I had to kill. So I started scrolling all the way back on producer Sophie's Instagram and Facebook page. That whole chat about the hangar was just to get to this. So I've gone back to 2011 on producer Sophie's Facebook, and I just want to explain some statuses that she's got here.
Okay.
12th of November, 2011, she's written, "An elephant never forgets, so my D remembers everything." Do you want to explain that, Sophie?
I'm pretty sure that was a Childish Gambino lyric, and I didn't even really know who he was. I just wanted to be cool.
It is. It's from the song Freaks and Geeks, I think.
Sure. On the 4th of Feb, 2012, she's written, "What's on my mind, Facebook? I don't have a job, friends, or a family. I hate everything and everyone, and the only thing that's going on that's good at the moment is the pizza I just ate. Is everything better? Is everything okay? Has your life gotten better since then?"
A little bit better.
Okay.
So you're 16.
On the 8th of June, 2012, she wrote, "Life dream. Go into a crowded elevator and say, I bet you're all wondering why I gathered you here. I am legendary."
That is pretty funny.
You think that's funny, Ducko?
It's pretty funny.
Because I also went onto your Instagram page and Facebook page, and I got some of your statuses here.
Okay.
From April 15, 2010.
Hell of a year.
You wrote, "Love many, trust few, learn to paddle your own canoe."
That sounds like a stitch up from a friend, but it's a hell of a stitch up. You know, on Facebook, it all used to be in statuses, and you'd hack someone's Facebook and write a status.
Yeah. And it used to be, like Nick Allen Duckett is.
Love
and
many.
Then you would have to
trust a few.
On the 5th of July, 2009, Ducko, you wrote, "Is suffering from severe thrush." Do you get all that cleared up?
Definitely not a stitcher.
That was real, actually. That was me. I should let people know.
Yeah. Cool. You wrote, on the 27th of June, 2008.
Oh, geez.
"So I pretty much challenged a really fast girl to a running race, and I have no doubts I'll get beaten, but I'm doing it because I can." Thank you.
What? Did I really?
Yep.
Okay.
And Gilly.
Hell of a ride, what you write back on Facebook.
Funny you mentioned how back in the day it was like, Nick Gill is, and you would just finish the sentence. 29th of Feb, 2012, Nick Gill wrote, "Thinks a girl's personality rating, P, is inversely proportional to the average angle of her head tilt, AHT, in her photos. Unless it's greater than 30 degrees, then she just has a serious spinal issue. P=1/AHT, where AHT is less than 30.
She's doing a bit of science here, mate.
That's not bad. Back in 2012, not changed much, has he?
How like different our Facebooks were.
Theorem.
I was there getting my thing cleaned up.
Yeah. The 24th of Feb, 2010.
Oh, gosh.
Sheely wrote, "Is listlessly making a to-do list. Do washing, book haircut, dry wet clothes, wet dry clothes, make list, tick."
That's a good gear.
Mate, on the 23rd of Feb, 2010.
He's loving it himself. Look at him reminisce.
Mate, Nick Hill
wrote one of my statuses. They're all stitch-ups.
Yours was really frustrating because I, to be honest, went on Gilly's first and I'm getting this sort of gear.
Yeah.
Nick Gill has decided to never order beef mince over the phone after receiving his package full of beef mince. last night, like minty mints, and you're giving me, you know, is suffering from severe thrush, which is clearly,
my friends are a bit simple.
My mathematical theorem was a stitch up.
It's more embarrassing for you that it's not.
Nick Gill on the 17th of November, 2008.
Why am I getting so many more than everyone else?
You were a prolific status updater.
Yeah, you would be.
There is one almost every day from you, it felt like. It was hefty. Just wants to have fun and as a result is empathetic to girls.
Like girls just want to have fun.
Yeah.
Girls just want to have fun. Mate, Ducko, on the 24th of April 2012.
Yeah, what did I put?
Nick Gill. No, Nick Gill.
Oh, good. Oh.
Maths, where everybody counts.
It's not bad here for you, mate. And you know what? Your humour hasn't changed.
Thinks it's nice to say the word papoose. What's that?
Oh, it's so nice.
Your humour and gear hasn't changed. I feel like I've evolved with mine.
Is trying to coin the phrase sweetie cakes when excited about something. So far, the uptake is slow. Did sweetie cakes ever catch on?
If I like gave you $10, would you go sweetie cakes?
So the hanger sounds like it was fun. You had a lot of time.
Season 8 kicked off yesterday with a new expert in the mix, Alessandra, our sexologist. But we met our first two couples, Melissa and Bryce, and Beck and Jake. Now, Beck and Jake had a beautiful, whilst very intimate, COVID ceremony up here in our beautiful Hunter Valley at circa 1876. And needless to say, first impressions were not amazing.
Thought I'd see, you know, this really happy, amazing smile. He's looking at me like I am sex on a stick.
Beck not thrilled with Jake looking at her down the aisle and kind of went on to interrupt his vows a couple of times about other things she was picking up on. But they got through the ceremony.
Okay.
And through the reception.
Is this just me being a guy, but is it not good to look down the aisle and think that your wife is looking beautiful?
Looking sexy.
Well, see, I think Beck was, and we can ask Beck because she and Jake join us right now, but I think the issue was not that he was looking at her with like, you look beautiful. It was like, you're hot. You know what I mean? There's a difference. It's like when someone calls you cute.
Without like licking your lips or something, I think it's hard to read that. But let's ask.
Good morning, Beck and Jake. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Good morning.
What exactly made you think that Jake thought that he was looking at you like sex on a stick rather than say, she looks beautiful?
Look, girls will know what I'm talking about when there's just vibes. It's this kind of hungry kind of look. It's very unsettling.
Jake, any retort to that?
I've stopped looking at women altogether. I don't know how to look at ladies anymore. I just saw Beck walking down the aisle and, yeah, she looked beautiful, what I could see, but it is what it is.
Okay, right. So when you were watching it last night, Jake, obviously you didn't see all those cutaways of what Beck was thinking when you were saying your vows. How did you feel about, I don't know, her commenting on the fact you look like you bite your nails and the no tie? She thought you were maybe a little bit dressed too casually.
It was very judge book by the front cover, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I guess it is. I think we judge everyone by their appearance when we first meet them. They're all factual things, aren't they? I mean, I do bite my nails. I didn't wear a tie. And my teeth aren't great. So, yeah, it's pretty harsh, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Right. Now, Beck and Jake, I think just based on the first 30 seconds of this interview, it's safe to say you guys aren't together anymore. What kind of arrangements do you guys have to do to kind of put up that front over the next few months?
Who's to say we're not together?
Yeah, you guys might have to watch and might turn around. You guys have to watch the rest of the series.
Are you guys in the same room at the moment?
No, Beck's in Perth, I'm in Melbourne, which is a logistic nightmare at the moment because of COVID, which is a challenge, obviously, for everyone.
Right.
Yeah, we noticed the ceremony was obviously very bare because you could only have minimal people, obviously, and you're coming from two different states, Jake from Victoria and Beck from WA. Mm. I've noticed, guys, that you both obviously, going to get a lot of traction in the media and online as well. I've noticed both of you have turned off the comments on your respective Instagram pages. Has things started already trickling in that you thought, nah, we need to control this from the get-go?
That's out of our control, unfortunately. Yeah.
So, is that a directive?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we don't actually control our Instagrams at the moment. It's all done for us. But regardless, I think I would have comments turned off anyway. I think it's proven that people write more negative than positive things in their lifetime, and that's just the way of the world. But yeah, just staying away from comments, I think, is the best thing for anyone to have in a situation like this, regardless of if you're Princess Diana or not.
Yeah, fair enough. Jake, I know you run a mental health charity. Why did you go on a show like this, mate, where they're basically having to control comments? And why are you putting yourself out there in this regard when it's, we've seen for the past 8 seasons that it can get really toxic?
Yeah, I guess for me, first and foremost, it was about finding the one, wasn't it? And put aside everything I do for work and that, I'm still a human being. And this for me was an opportunity and an experience I wanted to be involved in. And I think encouraging people to always continue to keep put yourself out there, not be deterred by what people can say about you or write about you online. It shouldn't stop you from living your life and trying to be the best person you can be.
Oh, fair enough.
And have you guys, it's only been one night, obviously, and there's plenty more to come. Regretting it thus far, or are you still happy with the decision to go on the show?
I don't regret the experience at all. I am grateful for having met Beck and having experienced everything with her and everything along the journey. I'm grateful for the experience myself personally.
And Beck?
Yeah. Yeah, I can vouch for that. Obviously, what you guys see versus what actually happens is completely different. So, it's interesting to watch it on TV. It's actually, some really great memories throughout the entire series for us.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I think that's true. Yeah, a lot of producers' stories, either past or people about producers' present, seems to be that things are edited in a way that maybe some of the storylines didn't actually happen. But Beck and Jake, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, good luck on the rest of your journey.
Yes, and we look forward to watching it.
Not at all.
Cheers, guys. It's back on Channel 9, 7:30 tonight, Maths.
Oh, boy. Carolyn has written in today asking, am I the jerk for forcing my daughter to go to a party she wasn't invited to? The twist here is she's got identical twin 7-year-old girls. One of the identical twins from the same class got invited to a 7th birthday. The other one did not. Is she the jerk for just sending both of them off to this birthday party?
Amy online has said, I feel like if you rang the parent who's having the party and asked if they both could go, so one doesn't feel left out, they'd most likely not mind. I'd say she purposefully only invited one. Mm. So I think she would mind.
Sure, she's ruining the confidence of a young child at 7 that early, you know what I mean, if your twin's getting invited.
I'd say that is far too reasonable of you to be having during a segment called Am I the Jerk? Let's tee off here.
Megan's in Ashtonfield. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Great. Do you think Carolyn's being a jerk by just taking the other twin to this birthday party?
100% Carolyn's the jerk.
All right.
This is the kind of opinion we want, Megan. Why do you say that?
I say that because they're two individual kids, and the mother that's having the party might have a really strict budget, and the kid was only allowed to invite so many, so she's trying to have the party she wants. And kids need to learn, you don't get to go to everything, you squirt little brat.
Fair.
Mate, not to mention budgets, but social distancing. How many can we have at homes at the moment?
I mean, look, if we're taking Corona into account. But that wasn't in there. That wasn't in the text. So Alana in Woodbury 131060, is the mum the jerk?
No, I don't think she is. That actually happened to me when I was in preschool. My sister was actually invited to a party, but I wasn't. And the reason was because we went to preschool on alternate days and our friend didn't actually realise there was two of us. So she only brought one and my mum had to just call her mum and just be like, hey, did you know there's actually two? She was like, no, she thought you were the same person.
Well, so, Alana, how good of friends could you be with this kid if she didn't know there was two of you?
Well, I mean, we were spitting image and you don't really call us by our name, and when you do, we both respond to the same name. So,
Oh wow. Yeah. And also, like, our twins who are nearly at preschool age, they don't really use names for their friends. They're just hanging out with their friends.
Yeah, they don't know who they are.
So how does mummy know who to invite then?
Exactly. You don't. They're 7. Yeah, you just invite them both and save the drama. But Alana's still scarred, I'd imagine, aren't you, Alana?
Oh, I mean, like, we just kind of, like, joined at the hip after that. It was just, like, both or none.
Yeah. See, two for one.
I can hear the emotional. Yeah, she was baggage.
It was built up there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the truth is, at that age, like, I just invite the parents that I like.
Yeah,
to the kids' birthday party. So if they have kids, it's inconsequential.
Bring a rosé. Andrew's in Adamstown. Hey, Andrew.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Great, thanks. Do you think this mum's being a jerk, forcing the other twin to go to the party?
Yeah, 100%.
Why is that, Andrew?
Well, like, it puts the other mother, like, obviously the kid is having the party, it puts her in a really awkward position. Like, you know, she hasn't been invited for a reason. So you're trying to deal with that mother being way too pushy, and then you're also teaching the twin that wasn't invited that if she doesn't get invited, she should be really upset, and it's the worst thing in the world, and, you know, like, all your self-confidence is gone. She should just be like, cool, we're not friends, no worries. I'll get a party in the future, it's no problem.
Okay. You know what the issue is? When the twins have a party, does this little person get invited to their party?
Well, because they're friends with the other twin, yeah. So maybe they do.
But
well,
she shunned the other twin.
It's a two-for-one deal. I think the twins going to stick up for each other.
Yeah. We're very split.
We are. Yeah. Is this the deciding factor?
I think it might be. Shay in Macquarie Hills, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think? Is Carolyn being a jerk when one twin was only invited to a party? She wants the other one to go.
I think she's being a jerk.
Oh, why, Shay?
I have 7-year-old identical twins, and there's no way I would send one, and like both. I would not send both of them. If one was invited, I would not send the other one.
Okay, yep. So in this situation, what would you do with the other twin, Shay? Would you just go out, have a little shopping day?
Yeah, take her out and spoil her without a sister for once.
Tell me, you got 7-year-old twins now, Shay. Do they sleep yet?
No.
Okay. Very good. Another 4 years.
Well, there you go.
You're the jerk.
Sorry, Carolyn.
Sorry, Carolyn.
Keep Twin B at home.
Yeah.
Is Shay Carolyn? Was it a pseudonym?
Shay, are you Carolyn?
Definitely not Carolyn, but they are having a party soon next month, and I have given them 5 friends to invite each, and I think if one of their friends that they invited one and not the other, then too bad.
Too bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry,
I had to get to the traffic there, Ducko.
I had a malfunction with my buttons. I'm not sure what happened there.
Thank you, Shay. Thanks for getting involved.
That wasn't me being a prick for once.
I was telling you to wrap it up.
I promise that was actually not me. Animals stole your what?
What?
Animals stole your what?
Animals stole your what?
Animals stole your what? The reason I ask is we head to Scotland.
Hey.
Och.
Yeah. Haggis.
Haggis. They come in potluck or cousin of their fire.
Kilts.
Redheads.
War paint. I wear no undies under me kilt.
Is that a thing? They really don't do.
No, they really don't.
And they're really hairy too.
Scottish people?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's hard to, yeah.
Hard to what?
Hard to spot the meat and veg, you know what I mean? It's
just when the kilt flies up in the wind?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's so heavy though. I've worn a kilt quite a few times.
Is that an evolutionary thing?
Yeah, I don't
Scottish people don't wear undies under their kilt, so their body has gone, well, we need a little bit more natural protection. So they...
Evolution.
Bushier.
Evolution.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I've only seen Braveheart. That's my Scotland history.
I didn't see the kilt scene in Braveheart.
They all lift it up.
Yeah, they all lift it up the moon.
Yeah, it's a great film.
Then one guy gets an arrow in the butt, doesn't he?
Historically
I've
accurate.
I've never seen Braveheart.
You've got to watch it.
Okay, that and the Titanic.
Anyway, the reason we're here is because James McKenzie and Bethany Ryan, they seem like lovely people. They were a couple. They got into a fight when she kissed him on the lips and then bit through his lips onto his tongue and bit off a piece of his tongue.
What?
Yep.
Pardon?
I don't even know how someone can do that. It's pretty wild. Bit off a little piece of his tongue. He then pulled away, spat out the tongue, like the bit of corner of tongue on the ground. When all of a sudden, a pesky gull. There we go.
That was very far away to begin with.
He got close. He got in. He's right here in the room now.
They got gulls in Scotland.
I guess so. They've got beaches there.
What?
Yeah, Scotland.
Wow.
Yeah,
a gull.
Anyway, seagull came, picked up his tongue and flew away with it.
Shut
up. Mr. McKenzie's devastated because he's never going to get his tongue back.
Could they have reattached it?
I don't know. Gillman?
I don't know. Maybe. It's just all muscle.
It's all muscle, just a little stitchy stitch. But Maybe. Now they'll never find it because the gull took it.
Yeah.
Fed it to his bebes.
Hence the 13, 10, 6. The animal stole you. What?
This is like that boar. Remember that boar that was terrorizing nude sunbathers around Berlin?
That's right.
And then he stole a satchel. Computer. Yeah, with the laptop in it. And then the nude fat man had to chase the boar around.
Yeah, that's
animal
right.
Animal stole you what? A laptop.
There's that one's close by.
Donald over here.
He's just really charged.
Geez, I was walking past a gazelle the other day.
You're really putting me on the spot here, aren't you? Were you walking past a gazelle, were you?
Yeah, I was walking past a gazelle, all of a sudden he started speaking to me and he said... the famous gazelle song.
Yeah, that's the mating dance of the gazelle. They all
see them do that. Anyway, 13 10 60. Animal stole your what?
Animal stole your what?
We'll do it next.
Surely there's been a couple of cheeky goats.
Surely there's been a couple of cheeky goats, guys. Now, did you mean goat? I'm just flexing my muscle here.
Yeah,
sorry.
That was stunning. Stunning. Got a message from Jenny.
Jenny.
She said, "Woo, go Scotland. I am not hairy."
So Jenny's from Scotland.
It would appear so. She used the Scottish flag. Good morning, Jen.
If Jenny's listening, can you reply back to Jess? And are the males hairy in Scotland?
Are the men hairy?
Great.
We'll keep you up to date.
Thanks very much.
Thanks so much. We are asking for your animal stolen stories. Animal stole your what?
Shaz in Whitebridge. Animal stole your what?
Good morning. So my sister and I, we were down in Sydney and we were at a McDonald's. She had a cheeseburger and she was just kind of absentmindedly sitting there eating it. Now, she had her elbows up on the table, so the cheeseburger was right in front of her face, and she'd gotten maybe halfway through it. And to quote you guys before, a pesky seagull came and swooped down right in front of her face, took the entire cheeseburger out of her hand.
Flew off of it. Wow. Did the gull use its claws or its mouth? Like, which way did it swoop the...
It took it with its mouth, with its beak.
The whole... That's a big bird. Yeah. A little bird.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't realise they could do that sort of stuff. Grab such big items.
Mate, they're getting bolder and bolder.
They are.
Aren't they?
Yeah. They're scary at the beach. Yeah. Have you ever had fish and chips at Bar Beach there? At Bar Beach there on the grass.
Oh, God, on that beautiful hill at sunset.
Yeah, from the swell. And the seagulls are everywhere. I can't live with them, you know?
Yeah. And there's a message there too. She said absentmindedly eating a cheeseburger. Always concentrate on the burger eating.
100%. Otherwise, the gulls
will get you.
They'll get ya.
Beth in Madawi, 13 10 60. Animal stole your what?
It was actually my daughter's favourite teddy bear that she's had since she was born. We have a 7-month-old border collie, and she was going to be left alone, and my daughter thought that her little Amy could keep her company for the day while she went to preschool. Unfortunately, our border collie Bonnie proceeded to rip its face off and scatter the stuffing all over the backyard.
They do that.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, they do that.
Do they?
Yeah, the dogs do that.
Yeah.
Pam ruined a few of your childhood toys, Ducker.
Oh, mate, all the time, you know.
Oh, Corona Pam.
She's done it with every stuffed toy since, but we managed to get another one and convince my daughter that the original had gone for a spa day.
Oh, spa day. Teach her young about the importance of some me time, Beth. I love that.
And is she asking for the toy back from the spa day yet? Like, it's been a long spa day.
Yeah, and she was clean and fresh and nails done and everything. So we dodged a small bullet there.
Nails done is amazing. Boys, Jenny, our Scottish friend on Instagram, has just replied, if men are hairy.
Yeah.
She said, my Aussie man is way more hairier than any Scottish man I've ever met.
Uh-huh.
But her man went free balling at their wedding. I'm assuming in a kilt and a peacock.
No.
Nearly got at his tackle.
No. Why was there a peacock at the wedding? And why was it biting his little guy?
Mate, oh, peacock would be a beautiful... Yeah. I thought I want swans in my wedding, chained up in the pond.
Yeah.
She obviously had peacocks just frolicking around.
Chained up near his package.
Mate, animal got your what?
Peacock got his...
Peacock got his pee-pee.
Well, that's...
Nearly.
It's correct what we're saying. Scottish people don't wear undies under kilts.
Yes.
It's his own bloody wedding.
Yes.
And just a quick one from producer Sophie. Seagulls would rather steal food from humans than find it themselves, scientists have discovered. Who commissions these studies?